Let me just give you a little quick background about how I got into this. I've already told you that in 1990 I went to Israel and the Lord began to do some incredible things with me. Let me put some flesh on that and help you understand what I mean by that. When I went to Israel, the first thing I began to realize was that here was a nation that should not be. Here is a people that should have long ago been annihilated a dozen times over. And yet, they exist. In 1948, on the exact day prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel, the nation of Israel was reborn. You see, God came to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 4, and he said, Ezekiel, I want you to lie down, take your clothes off, and have someone tie you to the ground. And when people walk by and they look down at you as the prophet of God and say, Ezekiel, what are you doing? You are to look at them and say, this is what the Lord God says. For every day that I lay here, God is going to put a year of punishment on the children of Israel. And this period of time went by, and finally God said, okay, Ezekiel, get up. And Ezekiel got up and he said, boy, Lord, I'm glad that assignment's over. And God said, not so fast. I want you to lay down on the other side. And when people come by and say, Ezekiel, well, what are you doing now? Well, you just got sore on the other side? No. This is what the Lord says. For every day that I lay here, stripped down, strapped down, and tied down, this is what God is going to do to the house of Judah. 1 year for every day I lay here. Now that came up to 490 years. The problem with that is this. Or excuse me, 430 years. The problem with that is this. In biblical history, we can find 70 of that 430 years. 360 of them seem to have disappeared. We know that God said this is what was going to happen. Now let me tell you what God, how God punishes Israel and Judah. This is their punishment. They forfeit the right to their inheritance, which is the land. Chris got his driver's license, and we've been teasing him here the last couple days about, you know, wanting to drive. But he knows if he doesn't behave, mom and dad yank the keys. All right? That's what happens with Israel. God says, if you will obey me and abide by the covenant, you will live in the land and I will provide for you. Your enemies will fall at your feet. Everything will be fine. But when you sin, you will forfeit the land. And that's exactly what happened. And we know that Israel was taken off of the land for 70 years and taken to Babylon. So what happened to the other 360 years? Well, there's an interesting verse in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 23, we are told that God has another law about this cycle of sin and punishment. And this is what he said. If you sin and I punish you, and then I restore you to your inheritance, if you still do not repent, I will take the punishment that I originally decreed for you and I will multiply it by seven. And a scholar got to looking at that, and he took that, and he took that 360 years, and he multiplied it by seven. And because we know some of the specific dates that were given for Israel to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and when they came back from the land of Babylon, we can lay that time on top of history. And if that was the answer for where this 360-year punishment went, it would bring us up to a modern date in human history. And if, in fact, that is where that date, where that punishment went, we should recognize it by the fact that the punishment would have ended. Well, what was the punishment? Removal from the land of Israel. 360 years multiplied by seven, laid over the calendar of human history, brings us to May 14th, 1948, the day Israel declared her independence as a nation for the first time in almost 2,000 years. Now, you're not supposed to say amen there. You're supposed to say wow. This is a book where God literally tells us what he's going to do. In fact, in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, surely I do nothing without first telling my servant the prophets. So God began to open my eyes to the possibility that some of my conclusions about Bible prophecy just were not accurate. 30 years or so after Israel became a nation, she then took control of the city of Jerusalem. In direct fulfillment of the Bible prophecies, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New. So this is how God began to force me to go back and rethink some of my positions. I am sort of a combination of many different teachers. I grew up in the same basic context as all of you, and so I was raised to handle the book of Revelation primarily with an amillennial approach, which simply means I would read the book, I understood that the stories represented Jesus as being the victor, the winner, but the specific details of the book that might talk about specific events and people coming down the road, I sort of dismissed those as not being literal, that they were sort of generalized pictures. And many people hold to that view, and there's great teaching that can come from it. That was the view I was taught in Bible college. Shortly after going to Israel, or I went to Israel with a man named Dr. David Reagan. Dave Reagan has a ministry in Texas, and he is a premillennialist, and he's also what is called a pre-tribulation rapturist, meaning he believes that before the Lord returns, he's going to first take the church out of here. There's going to be a seven-year period that endures after we're gone, and then Jesus comes back again. Dr. Reagan was the first person that had ever really taught me anything about Bible prophecy, and so I sort of thought, well, hey, I've been wrong about a lot of things, so I need to listen. So he was the first one that I cut my teeth on in Bible prophecy education. Then I came across a man named Marv Rosenthal. Marv Rosenthal is a Messianic Jewish man who used to be the head of one of the largest premillennial, pre-tribulational ministries in the world, International Christian Ministry to Israel. And he also had been a premillennial, pre-tribulationist. He had then changed his view about where that rapture happens and had gone off and started his own ministry. And I began to read some of his material and was very impressed by the ethics of his writing, because he was so committed to only saying what the text says. Then I met another gentleman and began to study with him, and his name is Monty Judah, and many of you may have heard of Monty. And he is a premillennial post-tribulationist, meaning he believes that this seven-year period is going to come, and then the rapture and the second coming will happen after that. Why do I say all that? Because I want you to understand that what I share with you has been a hard-fought, hard-studied battle. And I have not simply embraced what anybody has said simply because they said it. I have been willing to let the Lord use those from many different circles, including my own background in our churches, to help me understand this book. And I am appreciative of all of them. In spite of all that, none of what they have taught me makes a hill of beans difference if it's not in the Word. And that's what we want to look at.